Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less. It is about a year later, and yet the same two teams are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals. That just was we all expected with the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers, with the Oilers punching their ticket with a win last night.
It seemed inevitable the past like few days especially, but also just with how the playoffs were unfolding, and you realized, you know, obviously we knew how good the Panthers were, and you looked at the East, we all felt like, you know, especially with Tampa, when they beat Tampa, that there's nobody really going to get in their way. Edmonton, they just proved that even though at Dallas got Rantanen, they were just no match.
Yeah, no match. And are making the Dallas Stars implode a little bit, as we saw last night with Pete DeBoer's comments becoming the big story with what he had to say about Jake Oettinger after pulling him, allowing two goals on the first two shots of the game. And then it was really weird, you know, how it all played out. You know, the timeout, and then Oettinger's going back to the net, and then he comes back to the bench, and he just goes straight down the hall, and the Oilers score their next shot on Casey DeSmith. It was just a very, very messy situation, and Dallas has another good season go down the wayside because Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl essentially are just too good.
And yeah, right now they are.
That's a problem that Vancouver Canucks are going to have as well. Well, have had and will continue to have, I guess, is maybe the finer way of putting it. But let's get to it. What's going on with the Canucks? It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And really, the latest is the boulder that stands in the way of the Canucks and many other teams in the Western Conference having success is Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl back to their second consecutive Stanley Cup final. I know Connor McDavid is an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season, but really there's not a ton of speculation that he is going to be leaving, unless, you know, it's rabid Maple Leafs fans thinking that he's going to do the pajama story like John Tavares did once upon a time. It's a problem that, you know, the Canucks can't really solve because, hey, that's part of the deal. There's always going to be a team that profiles as better than you, but you've just got to be able to build the best team possible. And we know that the Canucks are going to do that, or try to do that, via trade this offseason. And we're starting to hear a little bit more rumblings in the silly season rumor mill, Sat.
Well, this is also the time of year where the trades start happening. You know, this time last year, there was a trade during the Cup Final. One, you know, a couple of trades happened as soon as the Cup Final ended. And when you have, when you get to this point, I mean, it's June on over the weekend, and or the draft is now less than 4 weeks away. We're just 4 weeks away today. So we're at a point now where we're going to see action. And, you know, by, from all accounts, the Canucks are busy working the phones for people I've spoken to. They are very focused on trying to find a player. Just like Rutherford told us, they are focused on making a trade because in free agency, you know, we've gone over it. It doesn't look like a great class, and the Canucks would have to severely overpay to get any of those players. So the trade route is going to be the most likely route. So the question is, when is something going to happen? And there's always a chance, obviously, that a trade could happen between now and the end of the Stanley Cup final. But it's very clear that they are going to be making a deal. And one thing I was told, Reach, and we've spoken about everybody, so I don't know how to react to this, but it could be a Hronik-like surprise eventually. Ooh. It could be somebody we're not talking about, right? But like, have we not like talked about it? It's essentially every single player? I guess the question is players we've talked about versus players that have been reported to be available and reported to, the Canucks to have had interest in.
So, okay. Wow. There's just a flurry of names flooding to the front of my mind as you say that. So it's a name that we may not expect. Maybe somebody that's hidden deep in a corner that we don't yet know is actually available in trade. So could we say I guess Mason Marchment just deposited from the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Dallas Stars.
I mean, I don't know. I can't
Nick
sit here and
Waugh
tell you.
Nick could be another name with the Vegas Golden Knights. They're in a little bit of cap trouble.
You mentioned Nick Waugh. He's a guy who's been rumored to be available, right? Like, you know how we mentioned Pavel Zacha, right? And he's on the trade board. Nick Waugh would have similar qualities, right? And now hasn't had play the same amount of minutes Zacha has in certain roles, but he is built up to be, you know, a good two-way type of centerman, has size, has some physicality. Would he not kind of fit the bill for what the Canucks would be after?
And he's a right shot. I think he kind of checks a lot of different boxes for the Vancouver Canucks, a player that I think would have a lot of suitors if the Vegas Golden Knights do choose to move him. Now, there's, I guess, speculation that Vegas is going to try to move some money out in order to go big game hunting this offseason. They've been linked to Mitch Marner already as a potential free agent option, but, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money, so they might have to open up some cap space if they're going to do that. Another name that has entered the chat is Jonathan Marchessault out of the Nashville Predators after a first year that didn't go so hot for Nashville, obviously. Marchessault could still score. I think he's got a 15 team no trade clause, so there's another name, I guess, that could be potential.
Well, two things. One, he's 5'9", and we know how they feel about players who aren't super tall.
Why do you keep doing this? There ain't
I'm just saying.
Wrong with guys that are a little undersized, okay?
Marchand's
undersized. Jonathan Marchessault won a Conn Smythe. Okay.
Listen, it's not like I'm like 6'4" or anything. I'm not trying to say I have nothing against people that you know. But
Brayden
my point's
pretty good in the playoffs.
That he is, and Marchessault has been really good in the playoffs, right? But he's also 34, right? I'm just saying, does he fit what this management team would go after? I'm just not quite sure. Marchessault would fit that, you know, kind
it's
of
fair.
Bill.
It's fair.
Right? Now, Marchman, you mentioned him. Again, I have no idea. I don't have an idea about him nor any of the players we're talking about here in terms of being that Roenick type of guy, but the Canucks are very clearly working. And one thing that it's clear, too, is they do have interest in a few of the players on the Sabres. But the question now is, with Kekalainen coming on board, are they going to pause and kind of take stock of what they have and what they should do? Or are they eager to make a trade here? Because we hear a lot of their names, but are they actually going to be eager? And it's very clear Alex Tuck would fit the type of bill, and we know Paterka would be available. I'm not sure on Byram, but I think the Sabres are certainly a team the Canucks have had talks with in the past and would be interested in a couple of their players right now, too.
That news, yes, Jarmo Kekalainen, a former GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, was hired as a senior advisor by the Buffalo Sabres today to work with Kevin Adams. He will report to Kevin Adams and will be involved in all areas of the hockey department, that per the Buffalo Sabres. I know on J.J. Paterka, like there was, I think it was Frank Saravalli today who mentioned that if he's still unsigned by July 1st, teams are already prepping potential offer sheets or will want to talk to Paterka to try and get him to sign an offer sheet. So there might be like a legitimate timeline for the Buffalo Sabres on Paterka, who's, you know, a really good young player with a lot of offensive talent.
And that's the guy, like, you know, in terms of Tuck and Owen Power, like we talk about Power, are you really going to move that guy even if he wants to get moved because of the potential that's involved? And
I think you still very much try to make it work with Owen Power.
Right. Now, Alex Tuck, you have time. Like, he can still be really valuable to you at the trade deadline. You know, so, like, you don't have to do something right now with Alex Tuck. But, obviously, there could be something depending on, you know, what gets offered to them. But you're right on Paterka. There is a real pressure point coming up because it could be out of Buffalo's hands. So, that's the one that could be forced on. And, you know, that would be a player who is more of a wing, but you can maybe project that as being a center and give him a chance playing down the middle, but he would certainly fit the bill of a young, talented player with a lot of upside, and that's exactly what the Canucks need, right? So as much as, yes, you need a center, but if we're being honest about it, the Canucks need impact players, and when you look at Paterka's profile and his age, like, he's one of those guys that if everything hits on him, could he be an impact player for you?
You need top six forwards. Right? Multiple. That's why I say four words, because it's not just one that the Vancouver Canucks need. It's very obvious that this team needs multiples. And the thing with Paterka that I think hurts the Canucks is probably would be a very high acquisition cost. And they will not be the only team in a bidding for J.J. Paterka if those talks do heat up over the next couple of weeks. Jeffro, Marchessault is just an upgrade on Besser. And that's from Jeffro on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Raymond mentioning, how about Trevor Zegras? That's also a name that... it was very apparent in Anaheim, right? They're pretty good down the middle with some of the drafting that they've been able to do. Hasn't really worked out. He had a great start to his career. Some injuries and some other issues have popped up. There is a hugely talented offensive player there, gifted offensive player from a talent perspective. But as we talk about so often, Sad, in the NHL, it's not just about how gifted you are or how talented you are. You've got to be able to put a 200-foot game together, and that's where Trevor Zegras has struggled so far in his career.
He has. Now, at the same time, he did take some strides in that regard during the second half of last year. Now, they're making changes again, and who knows how Verbeek feels about him, and maybe they're out on him totally. But
I was talking about this with Eddie. Like, does he seem like a Joel Quenneville or Pat Verbeek guy, Trevor Zegras?
Quenneville, we'll see. I mean, Quenneville has coached talented players, too, in the past, right? Like, you know, it's not like we haven't seen players like that flourish. Verbeek is ultimately the decision maker, though, right? Like, is he going to trade the guy or not? And maybe it doesn't matter, but I will be honest. And I did look at, you know, Zegras a little closely towards the end of the year, and I was looking back at a few things. Like, he did show certain things that he is improving on. So I don't think like that entire defensive game is devoid. Like, I think there is something there that he's showing. To me, the value and the upside based on what the price could be, because it can't be a big price. I mean, they'll probably still going to want a first rounder or something to make it happen. Like, don't expect to get him for nothing, right? But given what the potential is, if everything hits, like, it's a pretty small price to pay that if he does become a first line center down the road, like, that's just a huge swing, right? Now, I don't know what the chances of that are, but they are, it is a plausible scenario with Zegras.
It might be a bit of a fool's game trying to guess who these players are, but as Sat mentioned, Canucks are working the phones, and maybe there is a surprise target out there, just like Philip Pronick was a surprise for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, you know, we look back at the Pronick one. That one was a surprise, but there wasn't too much suspense around Nikita Zadorov. The Canucks were very much linked to Zadorov when he started to become available in Calgary. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Marcus Pettersson. There was a lot of speculation there, and obviously a prior relationship that Jim Rutherford had bringing him to Pittsburgh as well when he was GM of the Penguins. So there were obvious links with some of the players they have acquired, but it might be a year, as we've discussed, where, you know, there's a little bit more movement because of the lack of free agent options, and teams have a lot more cap space available. And there's a lot of teams that want to get better and want to try to be creative in finding ways to get better. So maybe, this would be a sign of optimism for the Vancouver Canucks. There is more trade activity going on around the National Hockey League.
It certainly seems that way. And we know the Canucks are going to make a trade. The significance of the trade is going to be the question. Is it going to be a big trade or more of a medium type of trade, right? That's the biggest question I have about ultimately what they do. And I know there's a lot of talk around Elias Pettersson and, you know, him being available. And, you know, like Frank's been telling us that, and we said this too going back a couple months, that expect his name to start coming around again when we get closer to the draft and we get closer to July 1, because it's just going to happen. Just naturally, it's going to happen, right? His name is going to come up. And that's exactly what's happened. But the sense I got is that Pettersson isn't, they're not just trying to move Pettersson for the sake of moving him. Like, they're trying to find a high-end player if they're moving Elias Pettersson. Given how poorly he played this season and how big his contract is, how likely is it, Reach, you get a high-end return for Elias Pettersson this summer?
Very unlikely. Like,
and that's
I guess there's a non-zero chance, but it's very unlikely.
I'm sure there are a lot of teams that would take him on and not give up a lot to do it. The sense I get, though, is the Canucks understand very much they need high-end players. And right now, keeping Pettersson and banking on him becoming that again is your best solution, unless somebody comes up and gives you something worth you doing, right? And I'm with you. I'm just not very optimistic that given how he's played and given what his situation is with his contract and the reputation now across the league, that anybody's going to give the Canucks anything close to what they're looking for.
The Canucks' best opportunity, best chance at a major offseason acquisition is Elias Pettersson finding himself.
Yeah.
However that happens, I don't know. But that's their best pathway to getting another elite player on this roster.
Yeah.
Is Elias Pettersson rediscovering that?
And even if they move Pettersson for another elite player, they still have to add another elite player still. It doesn't change the equation. Like, switching Pettersson for somebody else, it's a deck chair move, you know, like it's a high end deck chair, right? You needed to, you know, be another really good one.
You're moving the chess pieces around the table, but you're no closer to getting towards checkmate.
No, you're not. And if anything, even if you're getting, say, you're not getting 100% of potential, right? Like, you're trading Pettersson with the hope of getting something that you signed him to be, which is a frontline, first line player who could be a superstar in the NHL. You're not getting that back exactly. The closest thing you're getting is like, what, 80% of that?
Yeah.
And if you do it for 80% of that, that means now you might be better now, but your potential and ceiling is all of a sudden lower too. So it makes your job even harder, right? So it just seems like a very difficult thing to do this offseason.
There's been a lot of discussion around Brock Besser as well over the last 24-ish hours. He is a pending unrestricted free agent, and not a lot of it is, it just doesn't seem all that positive towards Besser making a return to the Vancouver Canucks.
No, and it seems like they're pretty firm. The Canucks are on their number, and it's pretty clear, obviously, that Besser is firm on their number. I think the Canucks are under the impression that Besser has options that he knows about and that they can offer more than the Canucks are comfortable doing. So I don't see the Canucks matching any offer here. I don't see them moving off their numbers significantly. So unless Besser really wants to stay, and based on the reporting you heard Dolly Wallace talking about it and others mentioning how Besser, not to say feels slighted, but given how the situation has gone, is in no rush to come back to Vancouver and re-engage, and certainly doesn't look like he's going to take less. So unless that equation changes, even if they do circle back, so to speak, I just don't know how different those conversations are going to be.
Yeah, and I'm curious. I do think there will be a market for Besser, but you know, the idea that maybe Minnesota would pony up, it doesn't sound like Minnesota is going to be a team that's willing to pony up a big offer towards Brock Besser. At least that's what some of the speculation has been coming out of the Minnesota Wilds reporters. All right, let's get into the playoff central roundup, and the Abbotsford Canucks taking game one against the Texas Stars, a big time overtime winner from Christian Wolanin, Sat's former son.
Yes, my former son, who has now become a man, and he's helping lead the Abbotsford Canucks to success. See, you know, like, you can be proud of your children down the road, right?
Yeah. No,
but you know, we joke. And by the way, all the Christian Wolanin love, and that's all tongue in cheek. You know, it was all jokes back in the day. But Wolanin is a player that obviously has talent, and at that level can really help out. But the story continues to be like they've been getting saves. Some Arthur Shilovs. They've had young players play well. Although I think there are a few posts in that goal that Shilovs gave up. It wasn't the greatest, but the Canucks found a way to win the game. And, you know, as good as Shilovs has been, he's been lucky as well, I think, in a couple of games right now. So that's really gone in their favor. And I think fans are excited for the game on Saturday. I've heard it was close to a sellout earlier today. It might be sold out already. And the vibe was apparently incredible there last night.
And if you want tickets to the Abbotsford Canucks game on Saturday, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to game two at some point during today's program. So keep listening for your chance to get a pair of free tickets to see Abbotsford Canucks and Texas Stars game two at the Abbotsford Center on Saturday night. My guy Phil DiGiuseppe, I think, had what, 8 shots through 40 minutes? Love to see that. So another good team performance from the Abbotsford Canucks in their continued playoff run. We'll talk a lot about the Oilers-Panthers Stanley Cup Final rematch when we chat with Yannick Hansen in a little bit. Also, Ken Holland is slated to join us in just a little bit. But there was some other news around the National Hockey League today, and you know, Lane Lambert was hired as the new head coach of the Kraken. That was happened during our show yesterday. The Islanders, man, so strange. The Islanders re-signed Kyle Palmieri and Adam Boqvist to new deals. Palmieri gets 2 years at $475 million, and apparently it was like already like in the drawer when Matthew Darche signed as GM yesterday, and was brought in as GM of the team. He's like, yeah, so here's what you got to do already. Your first move as GM is signing these two contracts. Oh, yeah, Lou Lamoriello's kid and somebody else. They're going to be your AGMs. So that's how the staff is working here on the island. It's pretty funny how that all worked out.
Yeah, no wonder Shanahan's not ending up there, right? It's like, I don't know, man. You want to go like Lou Lamoriello's, like, even if he hasn't left, like, he's embedded himself still in the organization somehow. He has his own loyalist still. Yeah. And even if he gets fired, he'll be the guy, like, in you know, all those movies and shows, somebody gets let go, but they're still pulling the strings in the organization.
He's just going to be like, lurking over your shoulder the entire time. Oh, that's the trade you want to make, hey?
Yeah, he's never gone, man. You can't get rid of Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, that's who you're looking to draft number one overall, eh? Okay. All right. Pat Brisson saying that Jonathan Toews is moving forward with his return to the National Hockey League. Been a lot of interesting speculation around this one. Look, Toews is 37 years old. He's been out of the league for a while. I can see how teams would have interest in him as being maybe a veteran fourth line center type, but I'm not expecting Jonathan Toews to jump back in and be like somebody's second line center, as some people have suggested.
No doubt. Like, he is signing with somebody, right? I wonder if, like, wouldn't it be hilarious if he ends up in Anaheim?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Quenneville gets back in the league. Everyone's pissed. Yeah. And the captain of that organization, he also comes back and is like, hey, well, may as well go into it together.
Yeah.
No, but I'd get, like, he's going to get an opportunity somewhere, right? Like, we know he's going to get an opportunity somewhere. The question is, does he want to go somewhere where he has a chance to win, or does he want to go somewhere where the pressure is off, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. A lot of speculation, too, that he might go to his back home and play for the Winnipeg Jets. That's another option. I think you'll have a lot of options. I think teams will definitely be interested. Toews, you know, there's no shortage of Toews fans around the league. And we'll see what happens, but I'm just not expecting him to be anywhere close to the player he was as a younger Jonathan Toews. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Ken Holland here on the program, GM of the Los Angeles Kings. He's got a big job on tap, and also from a Canucks perspective, are the LA Kings still way ahead of Vancouver? Is that gap maybe closer than you might think? We'll discuss that with Ken Holland. It's coming up next on Canuck Central.